for you. Bring that up to full size.
So it's the grace of God, the fear of God for you?
Mm-hmm. That a little better? Whoops. Yep. Robert Melvin Anderson, December 25th, 1955, is date of birth. De gratia means by the grace of God. That's an ancient customary thing for kings to say. It goes back to the days of divine right of kings, that's it. The divine right of kings. I'm king because God put me here. So de gratia is by the grace of God. So, and then a little phrase, wisdom, strength, and justice. But you can put anything you want. The only real requirement is that you put the word seal on it. You don't have to have your name on it. You can, but you don't have to. And this kind of a seal costs about $35-$40 down at Home Depot. Just walk in and say, I want a corporate seal. They'll say, okay, what do you want on it? You tell them.
You mean Office Depot?
Yeah, Office Depot. Right. Sorry. Yeah, go to Office Depot. Any stationery store pretty much has a system. It takes about a couple weeks to get it, 3 weeks at most. But you should have a seal. The beauty of a seal, you see, what happened to this person, she was in jail and not accessible. Okay? And so we put together the papers for her, signed it for her, and put her seal on it. And because it was her seal and it was with her permission, that seal was stronger than a signature. Okay? And they never questioned it anyway. Now, what is a signature? Now, this much I do know out of the UCC because I did some research for the Ohio Supreme Court one time. And they were trying to decide whether or not to allow attorneys to file their papers by fax. And so I studied the area of what is a signature. So that part I dug into. And what it turns out, a signature is anything the Creator says it is. Anything. You could put a typewritten series of O's, and if He says that's His signature, it is His signature. Okay? And under California law, specifically, it says that a copy of any document is an original if the originator says it is. Okay? Okay, that opens up the way. And in fact, if you make up a court order, I suggest one of the things that you can do in a court order is you can put in a little paragraph that, you know, if you're going to have a judge sign a court order, in addition to everything else, you can put in a paragraph that says that a copy of a certified court order shall be as valid as the original. And that way, you make a copy, you can hand it to somebody, and that's as good as the original by court order. They read that. That saves you a trip back down to get another certified copy. It's just a little technique I picked up from a Georgia lawyer.
Marking an X is your signature.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. You can draw a picture. That's your signature.
Even if you place a pen on and make a dot.
That's your signature, if you say it is.
Yeah.
You stand behind it. Of course, a lot of people don't understand that. They want to see you write your name. But basically, your signature is anything you want. But anyway, that's an example of a seal. Typical seal is, I think, one size is 2 1/4 and the other is 2.5 inches in diameter. Actually, I forget, but they have two basic sizes. You can get other sizes, but those are the basic sizes. And if you get something special, like you want some sort of a drawing, and it better be simple because seals do not reproduce detail well. Okay, but you can get a special seal made with anything you choose, but it'll probably cost you $150 or $200. Also, if you do get a seal, they'll offer you a hand seal. Don't get it. Get the desk model. Okay? I don't know if it costs like $5 more or something. But You'll get tired of making seals with your hand. But when you have it on the desk and you put your body weight on it, it makes all the difference in the world in the, how easy it is to make the impression on the paper. And another thing is that now on these samples, I've been showing this gold seal. Okay? Normally your seal makes an impression in the paper, and when you put it on the copy machine, it does not reproduce because it's all white paper. If you put the gold seal on it, the gold seal is like a mirror, but it's a bent mirror. And so wherever the letters are, it deflects the light in a different direction. So to the copy machine, those points look black. So they reproduce wonderfully. So the gold seals are perfect if you want the seal to reproduce on a copy machine. And the gold seals, they come in two types. They're the kind that you lick like a stamp, or they have pre-glued ones. They come both ways. And you can, yeah, you want a question? You got the microphone?
If you don't have the seal available and you need to file a complaint, then what else can you substitute? Or
All you have to do is by your signature put the word seal, S-E-A-L, and that's equivalent. As a matter of fact, the United States District Court in Las Vegas, their clerks stamp it with a little stamp. It says seal. You'd think they could afford a real seal, you know. But now, the only legal requirement is that it has the word seal. So, now, let me tell you something. Seals, I've seen in the codes where they say that a seal has no more meaning than a signature, okay? That's what they say in the codes. But I want you to notice something. Every court order that goes out, every writ must be sealed. When a summons goes out, that's a court order, it must be sealed. Okay? Why? Because in the common law hasn't changed, the seal is still important. Now let me show you how important a seal is. Well, it may be sealed on the original. Look at the court copy. The copies that are distributed don't have to be sealed, but you got to look at the court copy to see what's really there. Anyhow, if it's not sealed, look up the court rule that requires it, and then just go at them. Because now that's a false arrest if they arrested under an unsealed order.
Yeah, there was nobody present that has saw one of these with a seal on it, so we don't know.
Well, you don't know, but I would say this.
Oh, I didn't see it. It is the sure I don't see it.
Yeah, nobody ever saw that order. All right, but let me say this. That whenever you go, like in this case where they came through with a seal and they did what they did, arresting people and whatever, you don't want to tell them that it wasn't sealed, because if you do, they're going to seal it. So what you do is you go to the court, you find the original, wherever it is, you get the clerk to give you a signed, dated, sealed, certified copy of that order, as it is. Okay? The seal has to do with the certification of a copy, not sealing the original document. Once you have the proof in hand, then you can make all the noise, because if they go back and put a seal on it afterwards, they're altering a government record, which is also a crime.
But I couldn't prove that.
Well, you just say, I want to see the original, that's all. You go after them, you go with discovery. You can sue them. Remember this. When you're at law, you put in all the evidence that you can. But don't forget that every court of record has auxiliary equitable powers. It's not the mainstream, but it can be used when needed. Okay? That means you can do discovery. They can't do discovery on you because you gave them all the evidence.
You gave them all the
hands. Right. But you can do discovery on them. That is an equitable function. And so you go looking for that order. You can sue them, and when you sue them, don't say a word about it not being sued. I mean, not being sealed, okay? You just say, I want it, and then you do discovery. You want to see that order. Let them produce it. When they do, you get a certified copy right then and there. And then you let them know how defective they were. Okay? A little strategy there.
Can I ask questions about that seal?
Yeah, if you got a microphone.
Or just speak up. Well, you're close enough to hear. You speak up loud.
It says December 25th. That's a holiday. Is that a valid?
I have never known God to interfere with births on a holiday.
Oh.
Even if it was Christ Day. Okay. Next question. That was a hard one.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever reached the bottom of these deep pockets you're talking about?
No. That's another thing. There's a lot of people working on this. The question is, we got it recorded. A lot of people working on this. We're still developing our strategy in this particular case, but the basic concept is that once you have a valid judgment on record entered into the clerk's record, you then get a copy of that judgment certified by the clerk as a true and correct copy of the judgment on record. You take that judgment to some form of some entity, typically a bank, and you have them, you sell it to them. You can even discount the price if you want. This one here is up to about $20 million. So if you sold it to them for $10 million or even $5 million, you'd probably be happy. See? So you sell it to them for whatever price you get from them. They take it, they stick it in the vault. That's now a government asset, a government obligation, an asset, which now they can make loans against. So, through fractional reserve banking, they lend out, anywhere from 8 to 40 times the face value, and they make tons of money off of it. And eventually they get to a point where it's expired. I think, 10 years expiration on judgments. It expires, and then they burn it. They don't bother to collect. They made so much money. They made more than the face value off of it.
By 8 or 10 times.
They don't care if they don't collect that judgment. That's a good return on their investment. So that's what we plan to do. I shouldn't say it that way, but this is one of our options, is to sell it to them. There's other options too, but that's a good one.
Okay, another question is about the periods at the end of a sentence. When you start writing your case, I was told that once you put a period, that is as far as it goes.
No, that's baloney in my court.
Okay.
Maybe in their court that may have meaning. It doesn't have any meaning in my court.
So would you...
Who's the judge here?
I am.
Okay, well then, does it mean anything in your court?
Do I have to declare this as one
no.
of the rules?
No. In fact, Abraham Lincoln gave us some good advice about that. He said, if you don't want to dispute a point, don't bring it up. Just do it. Okay?
Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies.
Right. Yeah, so, you want to do something. Remember that the opposition is often as ignorant as we are. They don't know. They're just following a routine without understanding what they're doing. Well, I'm dumber than you. I got in an argument with my dad one time. Who had the shortest memory? That lasted about 3 seconds. And about 2 statements when he said, "Who are you?" I had no answer for that one. All right. Well, anyway, you put a seal on it. I suggest putting a plain seal on your normal documents and a gold seal on any court orders you issue out of your court. No particular reason, then, it's just what I choose to do when I do stuff. The gold seal kind of makes the order prettier. You could make an order without a gold seal, with just plain paper. But I find that the gold seal reproduces nicely, and it has more meaning when you use it sparingly, just on orders. With the regular seal, without the gold, just plain on the paper, no ink.
May I have a question, Mr. Bill?
Mm-hmm.
on the first charge, what we have four counts. I didn't see no seal at the bottom.
Yeah, but that wasn't an order. The first charge was an accusation, not an order. So there, no seal is required. A signature is required. A testimonial on paper is required. In other words, penalty of perjury provision. But, you know, the... See, when you look at the penal code, it tells you in there that all of your criminal process, court process, starts with a declaration by somebody before a judge. Anybody can go before a judge, but normally it's the prosecutor who goes before the judge. And he says this was done. Now, what you'll find is if you go before a judge will try to find some excuse not to initiate your prosecution. Okay? But at least as far as the books go, anybody can do it. That's all it takes. Somebody has to appear before the judge, whether it's a prosecutor, district attorney, or normal person. You go before the judge, you say, here's the crime I know about, here's the law I know about, and I declare under penalty of perjury, or I affirm this is the truth. Then the judge has to deal with that. Usually says no, unless you're a prosecutor. Okay.
Mr. Bill, could you make it more clear, you know, what are the orders? I still don't quite follow. Can a ticket be an order?
Well, there's a lot of argument there. Some people claim that a ticket is not a proper summons, that a summons has to be on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and so forth. I don't know what the technical requirements are. In practical terms, though, it's basically an order to show up in court. The only thing is that how can an executive officer issue a court order on the street? You know, so there's those questions. I've never gotten into those details. There's other people that say just within 3 days deny it or do something according to UCC to cancel it out, and that'll take care of it because it's a negotiable instrument. When the cop writes the ticket, he's created a negotiable instrument. Again, all of those things are outside my knowledge.
It's okay. I could connect it to it.
Okay. Is everybody here that should be here? I haven't taken a body count yet. You know, I gotta pay the restaurant for everybody that's here. So.
I think everybody that's here is here.
Okay, so let's do a body count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Did I count that right? Yeah, 6 plus 4 is 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and me is 16. So 16 of us. Okay. And then there was somebody who left early.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just counted you. So, nobody's missing? All right. Do we have to take a break here, or what do you want? All right. Now, last time our 45-minute lunch took an hour and 25 minutes. I don't think they'll let us. So it's now 3:12. How long will the real break be?
15 minutes.
So. 3:27, according to synchronize your clocks. It's 3:12 now on mine. Okay. See, there's the clock up on the screen.
Wait, you know what? I had the volume down. Could you just summarize the question?
Yeah. Okay. How do you establish a common law trust? That's the question. First of all, I don't know. Okay. However, let me say this about trusts. The IRS is targeting trusts. They know that a trust is being set up for the obvious reason. People, for some reason, don't want to give money to the IRS. And so the trusts, they're looking at as a device for avoiding it. So what they do, they target them, and they come after these trusts. That's the IRS is basically antitrust. They don't like them. And so they're going to do whatever they can to break through the trust. And if you have the trust in your own name, then they totally ignore the trust. A lot of times they just say, oh, it's a fraud and so forth, and the judge rolls right along with it. So I don't really believe in trust as such. Okay? However, there are two trusts that I know of that are almost practically immune from prosecution. Okay? Now look, I'm not saying that these trusts are wrong. There's a lot of people who have set up trusts and very successfully and have done battle. The problem is that they're a target. Okay? So, I'm just saying here's a way to avoid the fight. I don't know how to avoid the, you know, the trust could be good, but you still have a fight on your hands. Now, there are two trusts, as I mentioned before, that I believe are almost immune from attack. The IRS loves them. You do these trusts, and the IRS will not argue with you. You play their game to their rules. You can end up paying no tax at all, and IRS loves you for it. One of these trusts is called a corporation for profit. Okay? Any business corporation. And the other trust is called a non-profit corporation. You meet their requirements and they are happy. Okay? These are the two primary vehicles that the power structure uses. If they can weaken that power structure, they'll create a lot of enemies. Big enemies. Okay? So they don't mess with corporations. They don't want to set precedents that'll get them in trouble with their bosses. Alright? So, and you see corporations everywhere. Now, corporations are liable for tax, it's true. They do file tax returns, that's true. But, I don't know if you've noticed people complaining, some of these people's tax organizations or anti-tax organizations complain about the unfairness of the tax system, that everybody has to pay the taxes, but the corporations don't pay their fair share. You hear that all the time. Well, that's not an accident. Corporations are the vehicles of the people who are well-to-do. And they use those two corporations, the non-profit corporation and the profit corporations, to great advantage. As a matter of fact, one of the most famous people in the world used that technique. You all know his name, Howard Hughes. Okay? Howard Hughes, frankly, died in poverty. He owned nothing. But he controlled everything. Okay? And he controlled the Summa Corporation, which is a non-profit corporation. Summa Corporation owned all the buildings, all the tools and everything. And the profit corporations, such as Hughes Electronics, Hughes Tool, Hughes Aircraft, they all rented the facilities from the non-profit, and the money just sucked right out. So they weren't very good at managing their affairs, and they had to borrow money from the Summa Corporation for their working capital. And so, you know, they paid no taxes because they made no profit. And the non-profit corporation was not taxable. If you want to set up a trust, because all corporations are actually trusts, they're just not called trusts. They work. So I suggest, if there's one area where you are going to conform to the IRS, do it with a regular corporation. There's no problem at all finding accountants everywhere that know that. They're trained in it. They go to IRS seminars, which explain to them how to get tax exemptions, you know, or tax deductions. So you go to them. And a common technique is to have the nonprofit corporation be the money corporation with no liabilities, because they don't do anything except lend money or provide money to the profit corporations. The profit corporations, they're in the business, they're taking the risk, but if something happens, the attorney for the so-called injured party will look up the public record to see what assets the corporation has, and it doesn't have any because it's renting everything, or it's in debt to this other corporation, the nonprofit. So, it's a great system, you know, and it does cost. It probably costs you maybe $3,000-$4,000 a year to maintain that scenario, but if you've got money, it's a lot cheaper than the taxes. Yeah.
The question is, on the trust, you talk about, it seems like all corporation owns a trust fund then. What part of the ledger is that, if you do that in your accounting book?
No, the corporation is the trust.
It
isn't that it owns the trust, it is the trust.
Okay, but in the accounting book, do they have some kind of department where they put some kind of trust fund?
Well, that's the accounting book. Okay, the reality is that a corporation has income and expenses, and they, you know, they have bank accounts, and if they allocate money to a specific purpose, that's called a trust. But it's not a trust in like a formal trust necessarily, it's just a bank account, because the whole corporation is a trust. So the question is, the real question is, in the case of a corporation for profit, are you making any profit? And if the answer is no, because you're renting all this equipment from the nonprofit, and remember, rentals, things like rentals, interest from loans, that kind of income is called passive income. And passive income is 100% not taxable for a nonprofit corporation. Anything they get from the properties they own, from the money they lend out, that's all non-taxable. Okay? So, you know, if you have a profit corporation, it doesn't make sense for a profit corporation to own its own property. Far better to rent it. Then who you rent it from? From the nonprofit that you also control, but not own.
If you do a nonprofit, though, do not do a 501c3.
Why not?
Do a 508. Much fewer regulations.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Okay, there's an interesting point. You know, the normal nonprofit that people have in mind is the 501c3, but he's suggesting look up 508. So, by the way, the numbers refer to the codes in Title 26. So look up 508 and see if that's beneficial. But the whole idea is, yeah, trust is a good idea, but these two trusts practically have immunity. The IRS is not targeting them, whereas the others they target. Thank you. Okay, well, so much for trusts. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Oh, I thought he raised his hand. No, okay. Let's go to... All right, so that was the prayer. We got to that. So that's pretty much it for the filing in action. We covered all that.
After you got to the prayer, didn't you have the law of the case back there?
Oh, that's right. We wanted to go into the law of the case. Okay. Right. So up here, or down here, I guess. Go down. Here it is. Law of the case. All right. And so what we did, we said Exhibit G is incorporated by reference as though fully stated herein. So let's look at Exhibit G, law of the case. Okay, so here's the law of the case. And what we did, we said the law of the case is decreed as follows. Now, by the way, this is also on numbered paper, so I'll have to fix that. But on the left edge, you know, you have the numbers down the left side. The reason for the numbers on the left side is that when you're talking with a person about it, whether you're in the courtroom floor or wherever, you can always say page so-and-so, line so-and-so, and that just makes it easier to find things when you're talking back and forth. So we have here, the law of the case is decreed as follows. And so this is the sovereign speaking. Now remember, this particular page is unsigned, okay? There's no signature. But you don't need a signature. The reason you don't need a signature is that we can hear you. So, okay. No, the reason you don't need a signature is because as an exhibit, yeah, it's an exhibit, and as an exhibit, it has no meaning by itself. But in the main document, we said that that exhibit is incorporated by reference as though fully stated herein. In other words, as though you had written it all there. So that gets, figuratively speaking, that gets copied over into the lawsuit and your signature is below all that. see? So that's what gives it the strength. It is the decree of the sovereign. So, and what did you decree? Well, it is, we decree all kinds of stuff here that we've, we're felt was